could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we've kind of had a helter-skelter schedule here with Crosstalk. Last week we talked about how we took a break for a while.
Right.
And last week we focused on Thanksgiving and the responsibilities of Thanksgiving. But now we want to pick back up into the middle where we had already started with concluding our series on the church.
Right.
And what we were talking about was really the what we would call the threefold mission of the church.
Right.
The first one we looked at Passion for Christ would have been the mission of the church and evangelism.
Right.
And how that needs to be something that church is on mission in doing.
Exactly.
Is evangelizing the lost around them. But the second thing that we want to look at in this threefold mission of the church as we conclude things out here on this series is building the body up. We want to focus our attentions on what does it mean to build the body. And what does that look like, taste like, feel like, you know, if we're going to be on mission on this,
right.
What does that mean?
Right.
And I think we have a passage before us in Colossians 1, 28, 29 that offers some good insights in regards to this whole idea of building the body.
Paul's business was planting churches, evangelism, and then starting churches. Then coming behind and strengthening and building up those churches, especially through letters that he wrote to them, and sending other people on his behalf to build up the body. And we could go to Acts chapter 2, the early church and how they built up the body. We could go to Ephesians 4, the edification of the body of Christ. We could go to the pastorals and get passages that are specific about that. It seems to me, though, that Paul's heart and passion are caught in this section right here, in these three or four verses at the end of what is our chapter 1 of Colossians. So that's why we're going there, and I'll just read it. He has just said, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in verse 27. And then he says, Him we preach, warning every man or every person, and teaching everyone in all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So there it is. It's sort of a nutshell case for building the body.
Well, and I think there are three aspects in that passage of scripture that you and I have been discussing here before we came on. The three aspects of building the body.
Right.
One being the provision. What gives us the ability to build the body? What should we be using? The process of building the body, what does that look like every day?
Right.
And then the product. What's the end here? What are we shooting for? What's our aim? What's our goal?
Paul says, to this end I work,
right.
I labor.
Yeah. Right. So the first thing is the provision for the building of the body. What is the provision?
Well, to say it simply, it's the Word of God and the power of God Himself working in the body of Christ,
right.
In the church. And so it's sort of an objective thing in the Word. And then there's more of a, it is objective, and yet it's not as seen and felt, but it's the work of the Spirit of God, the work of God Himself in the people of God to bring about this building up of the body. But he says, Him we preach, so the front line provision is Christ Himself. We don't preach self-help. We don't teach and proclaim some new wave approaches to personal relationships. We preach Christ. And of course, what we know of Christ, we know from Scripture.
So really one of the provisions is, in particularly, the preached Word of God. You mentioned the
right.
Word of God, but the expounded Word of God. A lot of times you hear of things, the expositional preaching and teaching.
Right.
And the reason we think that's such an important aspect and so vital and so biblical is because it literally takes the whole counsel of God and draws from the text the meaning, as opposed to imposing our own thoughts and ideas
right.
upon that.
Right.
And so this provision that we have that pastors can do every Sunday
right.
Is something that we don't need to neglect.
Yeah, I've lived long enough now. I don't want to sound like an old man who's old and wise, but I have lived long enough to see two generations of preaching and to be acquainted with the generation before me.
Right.
And of course, done some reading on the whole subject. Every generation of preachers and teachers and has had a problem with what we would call a bad case of topical preaching and teaching.
Right.
In other words, it could be on prophecy or it could be on who knows what else. But it's, I like this topic and I kind of can jump in there and I maybe throw scripture in here or there. But the exposition of scripture mitigates against that because we're looking at what the text itself says in light of what all the scripture says.
Yeah, and this is a blessed provision. And you mentioned being able to see that. I think even in my short time, I've been able to see these 30-year-plus years, you know, I grew up in a Christian home and in a pastoral home and went to a lot of conferences, heard a lot of different preachers.
Right.
And know of different styles and different
right.
people and the way they preached. And it seems that which has lasted is that which has been faithfully taught Word of God, expositional preaching
yeah.
and teaching. I mean, look at people like John MacArthur, even people like John Piper.
Yeah.
Those guys, people are still downloading thousands of messages.
Right.
From their website, where you see other men who kind of just faded off. You know, they were a fad, they were a thing for a while. But these guys have continually built up, and it's a provision that's really built the church.
And they built the body.
Exactly.
They have. I think we should make note that sometimes people, if they've been used to topical preaching and sort of a style of preaching that more promotes the person and how loud they can get,
right.
and how well they can tell a story or weave a yarn. If they've been used to that, it's a tough transition at times, but we need to pray, and we need to encourage people to look for, but we need to pray that God will build in people a heart for this, because this is what builds the body. And I heard my dad say one time, he said, you know, you can kill a church with expository preaching. And I thought about that, but I know what he meant. You come in and start that. Some folks are just going to leave. They're not.
Right.
That's not what they're accustomed to. So we need to pray that God will give the people of God a heart for that, so
well,
they will grow in.
It's beyond just a Sunday morning pep talk. What we're talking
exactly.
about is getting down and actually letting the Word touch our lives.
Yes.
And see, what happens is when those people start living, it's because the Word is touching their lives and they don't like it.
Which moves us to the next word, which is the Greek word noutheo. We get our word nouthetic from it. But warning and instructing, we're taking the Word and applying it to this. This is
right.
what the Word says about that. And we warn and teach. So all those concepts
right.
have to do with the provision God has given us. And then on the end of that, he says, according to his working, which works in me mightily, depending on the work of God in us and through us.
So the provision is the preached Word of God.
It's the Word of God.
The
yeah.
process of building the body. What's the process?
Well, we should note that, and we'll just do just a little Greek lesson here, and some of our listeners will know this, but he uses throughout here the present tense, present participles. And when we see that in the Greek, we know that we're talking about something that is a continuous action.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. It's something
right.
ongoing. And so this preaching and teaching is something that the church needs to do from generation to generation. When people come in, they need to week by week, and sometimes day by day, but at least week by week, hear this preaching and warning and instructing and teaching, this exposition. It's that pounding of the Word over time, week after week, into the heart with the love of Christ and applied by the Spirit of God that brings about this process of Christian maturity, of building up the body.
Right. So I like what you said when we were talking about this beforehand. You don't get people by some sudden experience. And
yeah.
so, for instance, would be some conference, which there's nothing wrong with a conference. But a conference
not
is not where the process is.
No.
It may be an aspect of the process,
it
but it's
get,
not
it
necessarily.
It may stir some
right.
passion, yes.
Right. And I would say, I'll go ahead and say, if a conference you go to does not point you to the things that we're talking about and to the center being Christ and his work in the church, then it's not a worthy conference.
And it's worse than a waste of time.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's an ongoing work. It is that work.
Yes.
It's the work of the church.
Yes. And there is and has been in Christianity and the church this tendency to want a sudden, an experience that suddenly makes me holy, that suddenly makes me mature.
Boom, like that.
Yeah, and I step onto another plane of living that I never experienced before. It's not like that.
Right.
I challenge people to read J.C. Ryle's book on holiness, and he addresses that very well. There are other books that address it. I know J.I. Packer in Knowing God addresses it to some degree. But think through this thing. This is an ongoing process. We don't ever arrive there. Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and following. And so let's be weary of something and not feel like we're less than what we should be because we're not all the way there. Yes, we're going to sometimes feel like we're not where we should be. We aren't. And yet we are moving in that direction. So it is important to note that it's a process.
Right. And Paul labors to the point of exhaustion. We know that. You know, the word there for striving, you were talking about, is an athletic term.
Well, first he uses the word just for hard work. You would use it for breaking the ground. We get our word copious. We derive our word copious from. He worked. He was a workaholic.
Right. In that of course, regard. It was only him.
And then he uses the word you're talking about, the agonizo, the agonizomai, the agon, the arena, the athletic arena. Yes.
I mentioned this to you, but I often wonder, and this is just me maybe bearing on the text a little bit, but I often wonder if Paul was a sports fan. Because, I mean, he uses so many sports allusions, and I think he saw that as being a great illustration.
Yeah,
of
he
the
talks
Christian
about
law.
Running the race. Yes. He talks about the contest of the boxer or the fighter and the wrestler. So he uses all those terms. He was certainly very familiar with it, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we have the provision, the preached word of God. We have the process, which is something that is ongoing. You can't just expect this to happen overnight.
It must be committed to the process.
That it must be that week in, week out preaching of God's word, that discipleship, that training, that men's meeting, that women's meetings, that whatever, in the family, in the home.
Reading and studying.
Constantly putting that into us. But now I think we need to turn, and we can often think of this word, the product, as a little negative because we don't want to be these people who are product-driven or results-oriented. But there is a result that we should be looking for.
But it's not what... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so what is the product of building the body?
Yeah, it might not be what we might think because we tend to think in terms of budgets and buildings.
Right.
But what we're looking at here is a little harder to identify sometimes, so it causes us to have to depend on the Word of God and the Spirit of God to address. But he's talking about producing mature Christians. And by the way, he doesn't want this to be the exception. He wants this to be the rule. I want to prevent... Do you notice what he says? I want to present everyone mature, perfect in Christ. That means he wants to see churches full of growing, maturing Christians.
So maturity is not an exception.
It should not be. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have some immature people. But we should all be maturing. We should all be growing through this process and through this provision that God has given in his word in Christ himself.
So, if we're not seeing this product in some measure, not perfection, but in some measure, what does that cause us to have to step back and realize?
Well, we probably ought to examine what we're doing and examine the process itself. What are we doing, you know?
And are we utilizing the provision?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, in other words, the other two things that we spoke of should be something that we might want to evaluate. I mean, so many times when we evaluate when there's not a product, we start evaluating our programs and our all this stuff. But maybe our programs are not emulating what is truly biblical.
Right.
Possibly. Okay. So in other words,
it's a question worth asking.
Right. There's not provision being given to the word. Are we not making use of the provision? The process is not something that we look at.
Well, I could give just a personal testimony. I was pastor of a church, a rural, small rural church, for 11 years. And we didn't see a lot of numerical growth. That came and went. Sometimes we would see a little growth and sometimes we didn't. And sometimes it's hard in certain situations. You say, man, is anything happening here? But honestly, looking back, and even during that time, I could see those people who were taking in the word, who were growing. Sometimes it was baby steps, but they were growing. They were eating the food. They were tasting of the Lord. They were growing. And since then, I've heard testimonies that that was the case. So it doesn't have to...
It's not grandiose.
No, but it's real.
Hmm. Well, that's obviously, we're out of time for today, but these are great things to look at, and we will be concluding next week in our threefold look at the mission of the church. But we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.